Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent. Today, we continue with the Ten Commandments. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come to offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Ten Commandments are the shorthand for understanding and considering God's law. They come first not because they are the unique or primary good news of Christianity, but because they reveal our starting place as humans, sinners from conception, usually revealing ourselves more and more so as we grow older. Sin does not destroy us and make us fruitless. Rather, sin corrupts us so that we use our best powers now for the worst twisted purposes. And like Israel in yesterday's reading, we would often prefer to shrug off the commandments because they accuse us of not measuring up. Well, today's reading is especially important then because we hear Jesus' own words about the law, followed by his teaching on two of the commandments, the ones against the big ticket sins of murder and adultery, probably the two commandments that seem the most obvious to everyone, and maybe the two sins that we think most of all we are least likely to commit. Well, Christ says that he did not come to abolish the law. Nothing of the law will pass away until it is all accomplished, he says. And anyone who relaxes the commandments, even the seemingly minor ones, that guy is least. The New Testament, then, is not about setting aside the rules. It's not about going easy or grading on a curve. If anything, Jesus has a stricter expectation than Moses, so to speak. These commandments will never be finished until they're entirely done. And for reference, he mentions the Pharisees. They were the strictest and most upstanding Jews of that day. And he says that our righteousness will have to be better than theirs, or we will never enter heaven. And then Jesus gives two examples of how the commandments are greater than just their surface meaning. The fifth commandment forbids murder. That might seem quite easy to achieve. I've never killed another person myself, so I guess I'm righteous on this one. But Jesus explains the law spiritually. That means with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And so he opens up the law to see that it is more than just avoiding sin or avoiding the outward action of that sin. But it is about avoiding even desires and thoughts in the heart, words, but beyond all of that, also doing what is right without fail. Luther's explanations in the Small Catechism follow this form laid out by Jesus. They all say we should fear and love God so that we do not sin, but instead do whatever good work of love that particular commandment protects and expects from us. So, the commandment against murder excludes all harm, Jesus says, even hatred in words or thoughts. Likewise, the sixth commandment is more than faithfulness in body to your husband and wife, including, by the way, the ones that you may not have married yet. But it also includes words and thoughts and even our desires, the things that we from birth want. Our desires, in fact, are included in the realm of sin, according to Jesus. It's the primary realm of sin, which is why the first commandment goes through all of it. What is it that we love, that we want, that we fear and trust and expect our good from? To entertain or to crave what is wrong is already to reject God's design for this life. The heart, then, as we call it, is the source of our evils, not external forces, not other influences that might seem to prompt our bad behavior. This is how the Holy Spirit convicts us right to the bone, or, as Jesus says, right to the heart, even. If our hand or any other body part causes us to sin, it'd be better to cut it off before we could be whole. Well, in fact, we would have to remove our whole self, our life, cut out our heart even, then, if we would want to free ourselves from our sins and evil. No, instead, Jesus says that we must come to terms with our accuser, with God Himself. But what terms? On whose terms? Because the terms of the Lord's commands and expectations condemn us in our deeds and in our desires. Well, dear friends, Christ Jesus has come to fulfill the law as He Himself said. And this is what the Creed, especially the second article, teaches, so we will hear about it then. But even more so, it is important to see that the commandments are connected to Jesus. He did not leave them behind. He fulfilled them in two particular ways for us in our stead. That is how He sets the terms for salvation. First, He alone perfectly kept the commandments without sin in our place as both God and man. Likewise, He, as both God and man, bore the punishment that the commandments of God require of sinners in our place. And in this way, He fulfilled and accomplished the commandments. And this fact is the great gospel that Christianity preaches and why we are named as a church, not for Christ, or rather for Christ, not for the commandments. Okay, so what about in this life, though? If Christ fulfills the law for us and we do not, does that mean that the commandments are pointless? Is this some strange way I've found of relaxing them, as Jesus says we are not to do? No, not at all. They must still do their work on us as Christians and stay in effect our entire lives because they are the will of God. That is true even if we are liars and sinners. The commandments do not give the power to accomplish the things that they command, which is why we Christians have to talk about a salvation, that God rescues us sinners by satisfying His own demands in Christ. But the commandments still show us what love and truly good works are. And we need that. It is always the tendency of sinners to slip the knot a little, to lower the bar, to relax the parameters and change them, especially when they find that we have failed. But we Christians will not do that. Instead, we will always consider our place in life according to the Ten Commandments, by which the Holy Spirit will do His work in us. This is how we will learn to know our sins and to regard them as very serious, confessing them honestly, and then turning in faith toward Christ. And for those who turn in faith to Christ like this, those who believe the gospel, this is also how we will learn all of the ways that the Holy Spirit will be at work to renew us in love, so that we make a beginning in good works. Notice, a beginning, and one that comes by the power of God. In this life, the law will never be done for us, by us at least. A Christian will grow in the good works defined in these commandments, all of the sorts that the Small Catechism, especially the Table of Duties, expounds very well. And a Christian will, at the very same time, grow in the knowledge of just how deep our sinful corruption goes, and thus how necessary and how gracious Christ's salvation really is. We will learn more about this daily Christian life when we learn about prayer, when we talk about holy baptism, and when I preach on confession. But in summary, the Ten Commandments teach the law of God. They say, do this, and they never stop saying that, because they always teach what is the right thing to do, and thus, of course, they reveal how we sinners have not done them. The law cannot save as a result, not because of its failure, but because of ours. But the gospel, the good news of grace, is that Christ has accomplished and fulfilled all that is necessary to save us. And He has done this by His incarnation, His life, His death, and His resurrection. The message of the gospel, then, is different from the law and the Ten Commandments in this way. It says, believe this, that in Christ everything is done already. It is not a commandment. But the gospel is a promise that Jesus forgives sinners, that He, God, saves us. The rest of this week we will learn the creed, which confesses our God and this saving gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend James and Deaconess Crystal Neuendorf, who serve the Lord in Puerto Rico. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.